From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, September 26, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Danagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, you can listen to thunder after lightning and tell how close you came to getting hit. Yeah, it's true. I think it's like 5 seconds means that the lightning was a mile away. And if you don't hear it, you got hit. So never mind.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Let's do this.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Uh-huh.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
Oh, stop with that. Nobody believes that. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1905, Albert Einstein published the third of his Annus Mirabilis papers, introducing the special theory of relativity. And crowds everywhere responded with chants of, huh? He was just a little bit above everybody else. And it was on this day in 1960 in Chicago, the first televised debate took place between presidential candidates Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy. I actually remember that. My parents watched it, so I had to. We only had one TV. People who were around back then will never forget the riveting exchange between those two. Richard Nixon.
Oh, less filling.
And John F. Kennedy. Well, let me say this about that. Tastes great.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
You don't have to be a political science major or any kind of a genius to understand that with the kind of rhetoric that our mainstream media indulges in on a daily basis, rhetoric against Donald Trump, it's no wonder, it's no surprise, really, that there have been already two assassination attempts on him. That first one came dangerously close to killing him. And now, Dan Bongino. Yeah, that Dan Bongino, the radio talk show host. He's been on Fox News time and time again. He says that President Trump is being hunted by professionals. Wow. Well, again, it's not surprising. How many times have I said in the last couple of months, they, meaning the deep state, are out to kill Donald Trump, and they will keep trying until they succeed. This isn't over. Not by a long shot. In fact, if anything would surprise me, it would surprise me if there wasn't another attempt on Donald Trump's life between now and the election. There certainly will be after the election. But I'd like to caution anybody who wants to take him out after he's in office. You're going to have J.D. Vance. And J.D. Vance is no lightweight. All right, so who is Dan Bongino? He's a former New York City cop who then went on to become a Secret Service agent. He was with the Secret Service for several years. And he's written a couple of books. And he's not a man to be taken lightly. He doesn't indulge in conspiracy theories. He's very believable. And according to Bongino, let me repeat, President Trump is being hunted by professionals. Bongino's words. And tracking with a press release just put out by the Trump communications director, it gets worse. Now, according to Bongino, who served as a member of the Presidential Protection Division during the second term of George W. Bush and Obama's first term, professionals are currently at work hunting Trump. And what's more, he's concerned that the internal secret communications of the Secret Service may be compromised in some way, which would make sense. It would explain how that kid in Butler, Pennsylvania, managed to get to the roof of the building and have such a clear shot at Trump when you had Secret Service agents and local cops just swarming all over the place. And yet the kid gets to the roof of the building to take a shot at Donald Trump. So I would take Dan Bongino seriously. Here's a clip where he's talking about his concerns.
Sadly, we've got to like delineate which assassination plot we're freaking talking about, because President Trump is being hunted. I use that word deliberately. Some people will know what I mean if they're listening. Some people who really care. Listen to me. Listen to me. Trump is being hunted by professionals who know exactly what they're doing. And because I hate teases, is the Secret Service compromised? Now, I know you say, well, Dan, you brought that up last week. Is there a mole, whether intentional or unintentional, in the Secret Service? I'll talk about that. But someone, let's just say, who can be trusted, I spoke to last week at the end of the week, has informed me that their communication system for the Secret Service may be almost entirely compromised. In other words, people trying to hunt and kill Donald Trump may know more about what Donald Trump is doing than Donald Trump is doing. Folks, we got a serious problem. And the problem is the people in charge of the Secret Service right now are not serious people. The people at the top are too busy trying to cover up their own role in the substandard security plan for President Trump. Nothing is going to change. We are in real trouble. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm not trying to panic anyone. I'm trying to tell you this isn't over. You thought it was over after the first one? We had the second one. You thought it was over after the second one? Folks, there's more. He is being hunted right now.
Now, those were comments that Bongino made on his show on Tuesday, I guess it was. Now, according to Dan, someone, presumably within the circles of protective services, has confided in him that the communications within the Secret Service are likely compromised. Now, are they compromised with the approval of the Secret Service? Or the approval of the deep state? Or have they been compromised through superior technology? I mean, these are questions that need to be answered. But Bongino's assessment seems to track with even Trump's own communications director just putting out a press release the other day stating that Trump has been briefed on real and specific threats about Iran's alleged effort to kill him. See, let's not forget about foreign entities involved in this. Now, this is the way it was reported by Fox News. Former President Trump was briefed Tuesday about real and specific threats from Iran to assassinate the Republican presidential candidate, according to his campaign. Iran's aim to assassinate Trump is part of the Islamic Republic's efforts to destabilize and sow chaos in the United States. And that's according to campaign communications director Stephen Chung. And he said, make no mistake, the terror regime in Iran loves the weakness of Kamala Harris and is terrified of the strength and resolve of President Trump. He'll let nothing stop him or get in his way to fight for the American people and to make America great again. I know it sounds like a line of propaganda, but we all know that's true, because we've already had the experiences of Donald Trump in office once before. You know, he was our 45th president. He's about to be our 47th. I think the reality of this is finally starting to hit the American people. There seems to be a resolve now to get Donald Trump back into the White House. And every day, Kamala Harris says something or does something that just has people scratching their heads. She's losing disciples on a daily basis. They're leaving that camp, that Kamala camp, in droves. So, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed by most people, as news breaks on a daily basis, that the U.S. Senate has unanimously passed a bill, which the House also unanimously passed, bolstering the Secret Service protection of all presidential candidates. So somebody somewhere is getting the message. And that was the news when the House passed the bill. And just a short time ago, the Senate also unanimously approved the bill. So when the House and the Senate both agree on something like this, well, why wouldn't they? Because those people in the House and the Senate are public officials as well. And one or more of them may need Secret Service protection at some point in the future. Kind of stands to reason. But this is interesting stuff when you consider, what do they know that they didn't know a week ago? What suddenly caused the U.S. House and Senate to unanimously vote on a bill that raises the Secret Service protection afforded to all presidential candidates to be equal to that of a sitting president? Had that action been taken weeks ago, we wouldn't be seeing the same red flags. We wouldn't be hearing the kinds of things from Dan Bongino that we're hearing. Just makes you wonder. So one of the biggest concerns out there right now is that Bongino sounds as if he has reason to believe the FBI knows more about these threats and possible communication holes and are actively keeping it secret. Why would they keep it secret? Are they keeping it secret so that they have a leg up on the doobads? I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of things the FBI hasn't told us, and this seems to be standard operating procedure with the FBI. They will let us know what they want us to know, and they will withhold anything they don't want us to know. I mean, you'd have to have been living under a rock for the last 10, 15 years if you didn't know that was true. So, hypothetical question written by one of the internet pundits. I guess it was yesterday where I saw this. He was questioning if the people in Washington right now are just engaging in a D.C.-style CYA operation, because they know this isn't finished. Again, to Fox News, here we go. This is another item from Fox News. They said, in the weeks following the nearly back-to-back assassination attempts against former President Donald Trump, the Senate unanimously passed bipartisan legislation that would boost Secret Service protection to major presidential candidates. Senator Tim Scott and Senator Rick Scott, Tim Scott is South Carolina, Rick Scott, Florida, both Republican, introduced the Protect Our President Act, which will enhance U.S. Secret Service protection for presidential nominees to the same level currently provided for a sitting president. However, a nominee is free to decline this. In this atmosphere, and especially with our mainstream media behaving the way they are, with their reprehensible rhetoric, who would decline it? And then the Fox item also says it would additionally extend that presidential level protection to vice presidential nominees, in this case to J.D. Vance and Tim Walz. Additionally, the bill would require regular reporting from the Secret Service to leaders of the House and Senate on the status of candidates' protection. The regular reporting would mandate that the agency provide a report of the nominee's protection every 15 days during a presidential election year. Such reports would include threat levels, security measures, costs, amount of personnel assigned, and any needs that are unmet. Can you imagine the paperwork that's going to have to follow that? And it says the report would also include the threat level for each presidential nominee, the security measures being implemented, associated costs, the number of personnel permanently assigned to each protective detail, and any unmet security needs. Which, of course, anybody would applaud this. But again, I go back to the, boy, can you imagine the paperwork involved with this? So, all right. We have what Dan Bongino had to say. Then there's Representative Matt Gaetz. And I want to play some audio for you here where he's discussing the threat, which he has repeatedly spoken of in more detail lately. And Matt Gaetz, you know, he's got his detractors out there, but one thing you've got to admire the man for, he sure sticks to it. But here he is on a, I guess it's a podcast, the Alec Lace Show.
The operative question here is how, when we knew that there were five teams that were targeting Trump of various levels of sophistication, I'm sure, probably not all the most sophisticated in the world, why was our force protection at Butler for Trump drained to provide additional protection for John Bolton and Jill Biden? I don't want anything bad to happen to John Bolton and Jill Biden, but the threat profile against President Trump was so strong, it necessitated better than we provided him for protection. All the while, you had the Trump detail saying, we need more assets, we need more assistance, and they were denied. And you have to sort of wonder, Alec, what's the motive for that? And people in Secret Service have said to me that it's that they didn't want Trump to look too authoritative, or like if he's got a lot of, you know, big dudes around him, Secret Service agents, you know, then he looks powerful, and they wanted to diminish him by not protecting him. Now, I don't, you know, that is the view of some folks who've shared it with me. But think of how sick that is if that's true, that they would put our whole country, they would risk throwing this country into indescribable chaos just for comparative optics.
Imagine that. Comparative optics. In other words, vanity. So what Gaetz said at the end of that clip, while sickening, is probably the less dangerous scenario of the possible realities on the table regarding what's really going on with the continuing threats to President Trump. Is it external? Is it Iran? Is it Russia? Is it China? Possibly. But there's the reality, which I think is more probable, and that is that it's domestic. Here again, how many of these whack jobs are out there waiting to take a shot at Donald Trump? And why are they doing it? Have you listened to the mainstream media lately? Listen to their rhetoric. So we're back at the simple question. Are these repeated assassination attempts simply the result of DEI hiring and political leanings within the Secret Service, hoping to diminish the possibility that they'd provide presidential optics for Trump to appear authoritative and important by doing their job? I don't know. So, that notwithstanding, there's an ongoing threat. I promise you, somebody is going to try to take another shot at Donald Trump, and I would imagine it'll be before the election. Which only brings to mind a question in my mind, and that is, how many attempts will there be against him after he re-enters the White House? The news for Donald Trump lately has been pretty much good news all the way around. His polls are looking good. He's looking good in the swing states. In areas where traditionally Republicans don't do well, he's doing pretty well. And now this news, this guy Ryan Ruth or Ralph, has been charged with the attempted assassination of Trump and Judge Aileen Cannon. You know, the lady who oversaw and then threw out the classified documents case against Trump was randomly assigned to Ruth's case. And this is according to CNN. The Washington Examiner reported that previously Ruth was only being charged with two gun felonies. And a judge ruled Monday that Ruth, who's 58 years old, is going to stay in prison as he awaits his trial. He was accused of staking out at the sixth hole of Trump's International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. He was there for 12 hours. I know this is largely a rehash of what you may already know, but we try to do this just to keep everybody up to speed, because there are some latecomers to these news stories. I want to make sure they're covered, too. And he was just waiting for Trump to get in range so that he could assassinate him. But Secret Service agents, to their credit, located and fired on this guy before he could get a shot off. There were no shots other than from the Secret Service. Now, as Politico is reporting on this, they said the federal judge who presided over and threw out the criminal classified documents case the Justice Department brought against Donald Trump is now set to oversee the case into the latest apparent assassination attempt against the former president. Now, they went on to say here that Judge Aileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, was randomly assigned the attempted assassination case Tuesday after a grand jury in Miami returned a 5-count indictment against Ryan Ruth in connection with the September 15th incident at the Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. The indictment charges Ruth with attempted assassination of a presidential candidate, possessing a firearm in furtherance of a violent crime, and assault on a federal officer, as well as two charges he already faced, being a felon in possession of a firearm and possessing a firearm with an obliterated serial number. According to prosecutors and police, a Secret Service agent opened fire on Ruth after spotting a rifle barrel poking through a fence surrounding the golf course as Trump was about a hole away. Ruth, of authorities say, did not fire, was arrested by sheriff's deputies in an adjoining county a short time later. There's video of that arrest all over the internet. All you have to do is tap around in the search bar a little bit and you can see the video. It's not particularly exciting, but just the same, it's historic, if nothing else. They say the lead charge that the Justice Department filed against Ruth Tuesday was brought under a federal statute that makes it a crime to attempt to kill a major party presidential candidate. Really? What about minor party candidate? I guess they're not as important. They're not as big a threat. Anyhow, the charges carry a maximum sentence of life in prison if he's convicted. Democrats and lefties in general across America have spent years spreading anti-police rhetoric, fueling protests, calling for defunding the cops. And their message? Law enforcement is the enemy, especially in the wake of incidents like the death of George Floyd in 2020. From major cities to small towns, this agenda has taken root, putting pressure on anyone who dares to support the cops. The mainstream media, of course, chimes in on that as well, and progressive activists, they've all latched onto this narrative and created a hostile environment for those who want to show their appreciation and their support for the men and women in blue. No surprise that those who openly support law enforcement have found themselves in the crosshairs of the ugly left's crusade against law and order. Now, one such person is Sarah Fendley. She's a coffee shop owner who lost her job for standing up for the police. Fendley owned Big City Coffee, a popular little spot in Boise, Idaho, the thriving metropolis, and had just opened a new location on the campus of Boise State University in September of 2020. But soon after, her public support for law enforcement, including displaying a thin blue line flag at her downtown shop, all right, not the one on the campus, the one downtown, drew the ire of student activists. And Fendley, who was engaged to a former Boise police officer injured in the line of duty, didn't shy away from her beliefs, naturally. I mean, she responded to the backlash with a social media post proudly explaining her support for the police. But this was just too much for the university's administrators, who caved to the pressure from a small but vocal group of activists. And within weeks, Fendley's campus coffee shop was forced to close. But Fendley didn't take this lying down. She sued the university for violating her First Amendment rights, arguing that the administrators had conspired to retaliate against her because of her pro-police stance. Now, in a stunning victory for free speech and law enforcement supporters in general, a jury unanimously sided with Fendley, and they awarded her a massive $4 million in damages. So, well, the breakdown was $3 million for lost business, reputational harm, and emotional distress, and another $1 million in punitive damages aimed squarely at the university's former vice president of student affairs. This decision sends a pretty clear message. You can't silence people just because they support the police or because they disagree with you. Now, the lawsuit revealed the shady dealings of Boise State University's administrators. According to the evidence, let's talk evidence here for a second. Officials were already preparing a press release about Big City Coffee's exit from the campus before their meeting with Findlay had even concluded. So it's clear they had one goal in mind, to get rid of her. And during the trial, Boise State's attorney argued that Findlay had chosen to leave on her own, but the jury didn't buy it. They saw right through the university's attempt to suppress Findlay's free speech, and they didn't hesitate to hold the school responsible. Findlay's lawyer, Michael Rowe, put it best when he said, "Senior administration at BSU caved to a very small number of student activists." And these were the same students who had attacked Findlay on social media, of course, urging their peers to boycott her coffee shop simply because she supported law enforcement. Knuckleheads. And rather than defend free speech, Boise State chose to side with the mob. A decision that has now cost them millions, certainly $4 million that we know about. Now, the university, of course, denies any wrongdoing. I mean, they're pretty resolute in that kind of thing. That's almost a universal mode of operation, right? Alicia Esty, one of the administrators involved, testified in court that there was no retaliation against Findlay and that she had simply made the choice to leave. But the jury saw things differently, thank God. And after just 3 hours of deliberation, they ruled unanimously in Findlay's favor. Now, this victory isn't just about one coffee shop owner. It's about protecting the right to express support for law enforcement without fear of retaliation. Boise State's attorney tried to flip the narrative, accusing Findlay of trying to suppress student speech. But the jury didn't, I mean, you know, hey, their attorney has to do that, right? But the jury didn't buy that argument either. So this case wasn't about students' free speech. It was about a business owner's right to stand up for what she believes in without being punished by a public university, a mob. The $4 million verdict sends a loud and clear message, believe me. Universities must respect free speech for all, not just for those who align with progressive ideologies. Thank God we're going through this period. This is another growing pain our nation needs to go through. This is clearing the air. Boise State plans to appeal the decision, of course. But the damage has been done, certainly from a PR standpoint, if not monetarily. This case is a wake-up call for other institutions that think they can silence conservative voices and support for the police. Sarah Findlay's win is a win for free speech. It's a win for law enforcement and a win for every American, who believes in standing up for what's right. To the Comedy Corner with Dori McLemore.
Do I have any online shoppers in the room? I love online shopping, but I did not know this until recently, that we are competing online with robots. Yeah, I was trying to get a movie club membership. I don't know if it was the way I was typing, but they're like, "Are you a robot?" And I was like, "I don't think so." And they're like, "Well, we're gonna check." And up comes that robot test. I said, "Identify all the images that have storefronts in them." Well, then I panic and I can't remember what a storefront looks like. That's a building. Are they selling stuff in there? Is there a storefront in the distance, though? I start picking all the pictures, and then I failed the robot test. And some robot is running around with my movie club membership. Now, I could be bitter, I could, about it, but instead I decided to be polite to all the robots in my life. I say please and thank you to Siri. Try not to skip too many songs on my Alexa. And if I see a robot vacuum that's stuck, I help it right away, okay? Because I just figure if AI takes over and there's some kind of robot invasion, I need them on my side. I want them to remember she had manners, you know? But don't worry, in case there is a robot invasion, we now know where to hide. Storefronts.
Make it a great Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.